Please open your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 10 and 11. Romans 12, 10 and 11. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervor in spirit, serving the Lord.
Most of you know what this is. It's a box of matches. Pretty useful they can be. I have here in my pocket one match. When you think about a matchstick, maybe think about an individual Christian. When you think about a matchstick, maybe think about a congregation. Because what I'd like for you to understand is this. When we think about a matchstick, what you have is fuel. And what you have is an environment. An environment and fuel. But if you want to have a fire, you have to have a spark. How true that is of Christianity. We may be in a very good environment, and we may have the best fuel of all, God's Word. We can be in a great environment, the church of the Lord. But we're just a match unless there is the spark. Think about that. And tonight I'd like for us to focus on combustible Christianity. Is your Christianity contagious? Are you the kind of person that when people are around you, they just are drawn more to the Lord? Combustible Christianity. Are you the kind of individual, the type of person that wants to light a spark to help others love and serve Jesus more? Two quotes as we begin this study, and then we're going to have a test. The test will begin tonight, but it will continue, Lord willing, into next Sunday evening. So you might want to have paper and pen, or at least your phone handy to jot some things down for the test. But when we look at these two quotes, the first one is this. Think about it with me. If sinners are zealous in sin, should not saints be zealous in godliness? I think we've all understood people caught up in sin, that they just seem to be drawn to it. They think about it all the time. They're very passionate about their sin, aren't they? Should we, as the children of God, not be as zealous for what is godly and right as sinners are for the way of sin? Here's something else to think about. It's been said that zeal is holiness on steroids, spiritually speaking. Zeal is holiness on steroids, spiritually speaking. And I like that idea, that concept. Because you see, the Bible talks about the need for the spark, for the passion, for the zeal. In the passage Carl read for us, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 11. You can think about Jesus when He cleansed the temple, that zeal for God's house would eat Him up. That's what the apostles recalled concerning Him. A quotation from Psalm 69, verse 9, the context, Mark chapter 11, when He cleanses the temple. Now, Having looked at that illustration and considered those two quotes, maybe you've all heard of the story of a church building in Great Britain that caught fire. And people came from all over to watch the fire. And one of the preachers for that congregation asked the question, "Where were you?" And they responded to the preacher, "We didn't come before because there wasn't a fire." When you and I are on fire, the community will likely know. Now, the Bible talks about being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Bible talks about being a people zealous to every good work, Titus 2:11 through 14. The Word of God talks about give the more diligence or make every effort to make your calling and election sure, 2 Peter 1, verse 10. And so tonight, we're going to begin taking a little test. A test wherein each and every one of us can measure our own spiritual zeal. And then it helps us to see something about measuring our zeal as a congregation. Test question number one. And by the way, these can be answered on a scale of 0 to 10. 0 being low and non-existent, 10 being absolutely wonderful and marvelous. First test question. Love for God and my neighbor is the overriding factor in every one of my daily decisions. Love for God and my neighbor is the number one overriding factor in all of my daily decisions. 0 mean, oh man, I really need to think about this. 10 being unusually so. The Bible talks about this being the great commandment in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. And one wonders how anybody can be right with God that's not stressing the great commandment. Test question number two. God's glory comes before my personal preferences, reputation, comfort, and even safety. God's glory comes before my personal preferences, reputation, comfort, and even my safety. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." 0 being very low, non-existent. 10, doing my very best, and it's something I pay an awful lot of attention to. Test question number three. We're measuring our zeal. We're considering whether we have enough spark to really say that we're on fire for the Lord. Question three, test question number three. I gladly choose godly character over comfort and holiness over happiness. Again, I gladly choose godly character over comfort and holiness over happiness. The Bible talks about perfecting holiness in the sight of God, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Be holy even as He who called you is holy, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. pursue holiness without which no man will see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. It's about character and Christ's likeness till Christ be formed in you. Galatians 4:19. Test question number 4. I make it a point to regularly connect. I make it a point to regularly connect with have-nots, with the misfits, with the poor, the hungry. I make it a point to regularly connect with the have-nots, the misfits, with the poor, the hungry, with prisoners, the lost. 0 to 10. Two more for tonight. There's a lot to think about. This will be number 5. On a scale of 0 to 10, measuring our own zeal, I draw near to God repeatedly throughout each day in praise, prayer, meditation, and study. I draw near to God repeatedly each day in praise, in prayer, in meditation, and study. To put it mildly, this type of person doesn't believe that hearing one sermon and one Bible class on Sunday morning will suffice, or even two sermons in a Bible class and Wednesday night Bible study. They want to grow in Christ-likeness. 2 Timothy 2:15. Lastly, number 6. I find joy and peace in pleasing God, even when it requires sacrifice and suffering. I find joy and peace in serving my Lord, even when it requires sacrifice and suffering. Count it all joy when you fall into these kinds of temptations, remember, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. James 1, verses 2 through 4. We'll pick up there, Lord willing, next Sunday night. But let me end with 2 very practical questions. As you look at your responses to these 6 questions, are your answers indicative of how Jesus would say you've done? In other words, are you being honest and fair? I think some people would grade themselves poorly when the Lord, who knows their heart and life, would do just the opposite. And some who grade themselves rather highly, the Lord would shake his head. Think of the church at Ephesus. In Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7, so many complimentary things are said about the church. And Adam, I've often thought that preachers would be lining up for the opportunity to preach at Ephesus Church of Christ. And yet, the Bible says of that church, they had left their first love. You see, there was an environment, and there was fuel. They stood for what was right. The problem was, there wasn't the spark of passion for God. But the second practical question, how would Jesus register? I think you know that he would be absolutely off the charts, wouldn't he? There'd be no way to measure the Lord in his heart for all of these areas. But that brings me to a thought as we close. Being a Christian means, among many things, that Jesus is in us. Is Jesus comfortable being in you? Is he comfortable being within me? The lesson is yours. There's not a Christian that could not be more zealous in the things of God. There's not a congregation that couldn't be zealous more in the things of God in appropriate ways. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. We do this at the end of every service to allow people who might want to make their life right with God, right with God. Maybe it's by becoming a Christian in faith and repentance and baptism. Maybe it's by saying, you know, I've been a Christian for a while and I have lost that spark. I know I've been in a pretty good environment and I know that fuel is around the Word of God for me to take advantage of. But help me to have that spark that resonates in passion and zeal. Let us stand and sing.